Hour number two on Canucks Central. This hour is brought to you by BC Liquor. Until May 31st, save $3 on Vintage Ink Whiskey Barrel Aged Red and $5 off Empress 1908 Gin. Visit your nearest BC Liquor location today and enjoy responsibly.
I looked behind the glass.
Yeah.
And immediately Rash wanted no part of any credit to this one. He's like just pointing over at Kieran.
I really want to know what Don Taylor feels about that Majority music.
I'm pretty sure Donnie danced that type of music back in the day.
Bring in our next guest. It is Don Taylor. He joins us via the hotline powered by Power West Industries. What's happening, Donnie? Did you hear the music coming in? What do you think?
Very Falco.
I don't know.
Do you have any idea what I'm talking about?
No, I have no idea who that is.
Okay.
Shane Falco, like in The Replacements?
You know the song Rock Me Amadeus? Do you know the song Rock Me Amadeus?
Oh, yeah. I didn't know that. Okay. I'm caught up.
Yeah. Okay. Well, what was the reason for the music? Was it just that's what came up on the...
The royalty-free?
Yeah. We let the intern decide on the music for this segment, and it didn't go well.
Well, 80s thumbs up for me. I like it.
he gets the Don Taylor approved stamp, so Kieran's happy about that. All right, Donnie, like the Canucks coaching search continues. We heard Elliot Friedman on with you and Rick earlier today, and Marco Sturm, Manny Malhotra. I guess my question is, like, should Manny Malhotra's chances of getting this gig improve with the way that he's continuing to have success with the Abbotsford Canucks?
Well, I think so, because there's, of course, two levels to any hiring when it comes to a head coach. And one is how good of a coach they are. That's fairly important. What happens to the teams, what happens with the team he's in charge of on the ice, obviously. And Abbotsford, I think we can all agree, has not only exceeded expectations, but by far the best story with the Canucks this year. I mean, you could even say, things like, well, what about Elias Pettersson? Well, he's part of the Abbotsford story, the defenseman, Elias Pettersson. There's just a lot there. And I think that I've been watching this team as a fan, as a member of the media for a long time. I can't remember a year where a team played, a Canuck number one farm team, played so well on the ice in whatever league he was playing in back in the old days, the Central Hockey League, International Hockey League, and now for the most part, on the part of every team, the American Hockey League, where they did very well on the ice and contributed in a significant way to the NHL team, to the point where you have players coming up and they did not look out of place. Multiple, not just one or two guys. It's been really impressive for him. So on the ice, I think there's no question. He seems like he's – and I say – I don't mean to be disrespectful. I say seems to be qualified because it's only been 1 year as a head coach. But all signs point to a whole lot of positivity with Manny Malhotra, that he could very well be the right guy. You're taking a chance on anybody. You're bringing somebody with a whole lot of NHL experience. Lots of times that doesn't work out either. The other level is business. And can you sell this player? Can you sell this coach? And you mentioned Marco Sturm. Marco Sturm, his Ontario reign were upset by San Jose in the American Hockey League playoffs. There hasn't been a whole lot of playoff success for him in the 3 years he's been there. So you're going to pick him. And I know he played his 6 games for the Canucks back in 2011, 2012. So he's kind of an ex-Canuck, but so is Manny Malhotra. I just think you'd have a whole lot of pissed off people if you pass over Manny Malhotra. And this is nothing against Marco Sturm. But Manny Malhotra is really popular in this area. You can sell him. So I think when you combine those two things, what he's done for his team, how his team has played on the ice, again, only 1 year, and how those Abbotsford players that are under his leadership have performed at the NHL level, you combine that with the fact, I think you can sell Manny. And look, a lot of things come down to money, and I think he's a guy, a lot of things come down to Manny. A lot of things come down to money. A lot of things come down to Manny. Other things come down to Falco. But I think you can sell the guy, and I think that's something that is very. People might not think it's important. It certainly is important, I would think, in a front office. So I'm a big fan of his. I love his story in that I love guys like Luke Shen, same thing. High first round draft choice, period. Things didn't work out initially, and they adjusted their game, and they lasted a long, long time. And he played over 1,000 games, you know, super well respected. Adjusted his game, became more of a defensive specialist, the faceoff specialist. He's been there with the young guys. He knows what they've gone through, and there's a lot of disappointment. And he's just so mature and so intelligent. I'm not saying they can't go wrong with him, but I just think it would be it just feels like the right choice.
Well, especially with some of the retread coaches here, Donnie, that, yeah, you know, like Jay Woodcroft, again, it felt like he kind of panicked at that start for the Oilers season, and then it just didn't work. And so it's like, okay, are you going to do that here? And you got out coached versus Vegas. Well, you're going to have to play against Vegas here. How does that work out, right? John Tortorella, we've been down that road. You don't have to see it again. Peter Laviolette, Dave Haxel, like a lot of the retread candidates aren't as inspiring. So that narrative that you just talked about there, that story that goes with Manny, like I'm just looking at all, I mentioned Jay Woodcroft, but also like the only other retread coach that maybe kind of excites me is Derek Lalonde, but that's you get the next candidate here internally. It just feels like it makes the most sense.
Yeah. Well, you know, of the list you know, the people on that list that you mentioned, I'm more a fan of Woodcroft and Lalonde just because they would be on their second go around, you know, as opposed to their fourth, fifth, or sixth. So in the case of Peter Laviolette. And the other thing too, Derek Lalonde comes across. I don't know how you guys feel about it. Everything's open to opinion in our business, but boy, he comes across as a really smart hockey guy on Hockey Night in Canada. So I wouldn't have a problem with him. I just think Manny, you can sell him, and you just get that feeling. And keep in mind too that he was a Leafs assistant for a significant amount of time. But mm-hmm. you just get that feeling. He's the right guy. You could sell him. And I just think there's a whole lot there, and also somebody that he's humble enough to continue to learn even if he gets the big job.
So I hate being this guy, but
be the guy.
Like the Abbotsford Canucks story, it's a fun one, and hey, they're on to the third round. It's cool. There's been a lot of good stories there. At the same time, you know, given the situation the Canucks are in, they need guys that are, you know, coming up and providing hope to the NHL team. And, you know, Sammy Blais is their leading scorer here in the playoffs. Phil DiGiuseppe is up there as well. It's not like Lekker Mackey's lighting up the score sheet. They still have the whole Volander thing going on. Like, I'm happy with what Abbotsford is doing, but I'm having a hard time seeing how it's going to, you know, directly impact the NHL team as early as next year, Donnie.
Yeah, you are that guy.
I'm definitely that guy. Like, I hate being that guy, but I'm that guy.
Well, let me just say this. I think we've seen enough of the young guys at the NHL level. Max Sasson, I know he's not there, but Elias Pettersson. Lekker Mackey, we'll see about coming off the oral surgery. You know, Seelofs has been very good down there. And again, I realize it's another level. But let me say this. Is there not a case to be made, you know, given the lack of energy on the Canucks in a lot of occasions this year? You mentioned Sammy Blais. I'd like to see him, give him a shot. That's the way he plays.
Yeah.
There's energy there. He can piss people off, kind of like Sherwood, mm-hmm. With that Stanley Cup playoff experience with St. Louis, got himself a ring. So, yep, you're right. It's the veterans leading the way, but there's one of them who's at the top of the heap in terms of the scoring race that I wouldn't mind seeing and just at the very least be given a shot with the Canucks. Cause one of the things I want to see with the Canucks is not only guys with a lot of talent, guys who can obviously help them score. I want to see people who can wake up the building. I think he might be one of those guys. So yeah, you're right. Old guys at the top. I get that. Jujhar Carr is up there as well. Had a big Gordie Howe hat trick one game against Coachella Valley. And you know, what can he help them at the NHL level? That's debatable. But that one old guy, I wouldn't mind. The older guy, he's not even 30 yet, Sammy Blais, I wouldn't mind seeing him get a shot at the NHL level.
They got so many bodies, though, in the role that Sammy Blais would play at the NHL level, though, Donnie, right?
Yeah.
As far as players to wake up the building, right? It's like they kind of need some some pop in the top six badly.
And, okay. Well, the Sabby Blay guys are easier to come by, though.
You're right. Right? You're absolutely right.
You know, we were starting small here, and that's nothing against Sammy for a second, but I don't know. I just looked at that list and I'm like, you know, and you hear people who are out in Abbotsford. Do we have Brandon Astle on every once in a while, play-by-play voice of Abbotsford? And he feels the same way, that the guy has got there's something there. There could still be something there for him at the NHL level. So that's a positive when you look at all those older guys at the top of their scoring leaders in the playoffs.
The place I was getting to is we were just having the conversation on before you joined us. Like you go through the exercise of, oh, should they shop for this guy in the UFA market? Should shop for this guy? As much as I'm saying they need guys in the top six, and not a lot of guys in the UFA market inspire me that they're going to find the solutions in the top six. I'm just curious like how this is all going to sort themselves out to even get to the solution where they make an impact, where a new coach is having success, like you were mentioning.
What about Mitch Marner?
Okay, but do we believe
Marner's
he's
not coming to Vancouver, Donnie. Come on, Donnie,
with me, Bick. Come on, I'm kidding. Of course not. It's not going to happen. You know, yeah. Well, or Brock Besser. How about that?
Yeah.
No, there's not a lot, and some of the UFAs have been signed throughout the season. So yeah, there's that. But Jim Rutherford said at his end of season media session that. More, they said they needed three guys, three forwards, and that they were going to try. It's going to have to be through a trade. So he didn't mention UFA. Lord knows, given their history, I don't know if you want them to go into the UFA market. But he said it was going to be through a trade. So what does that mean? That means you have to trade from a position of strength. And I've talked about this before in the show. One position of strength, maybe the only one. You know, Demko's injury aside, is defense. It's become pretty strong very quickly. So maybe you have to, in order to get a top six forward, you have to trade one of your fine defensemen and see where that goes. But Rutherford said himself, and we've saved this clip for a long time on our show. You know, we'll run it as things go on. But we wanted to save that clip just to see. You know, when push comes to shove, what exactly is going to do? Because he said he was going to trade for it. So if he was to sign some, you know, unreasonable contract with a UFA, then we'll pull that clip out for sure.
You mentioned that, and it's I was having a conversation with a Canucks fan over the weekend, and they were asking like, hey, you know, who do you think they're going to select with the 15th overall pick? And I'm like, I don't think they're making that selection. So, you know, what are they going to use in trade? I mean, you can't even get excited about a first-round draft choice right now.
Yeah. Well, maybe the 15th pick and Vilander, you know, right?
Yeah.
You know, maybe that's a package that intrigues people. But I know that there are people who believe they're high on Cole Reshny out of Victoria, but he's a smaller center, so. Potentially be a top six guy, but certainly I wouldn't think he would help next year. But that would be a nice fit given where he plays his junior hockey. But yeah, you're right. They've only picked 15th overall once, and that was Lekkerimäki, and you know, so results so far.
Looking at the NHL playoffs, Donnie, do you think a Canadian team advances to the next round here? Feels like they're kind of on the ropes.
Well, if you had asked me a few days ago, Toronto for sure, yeah. Right?
The Leafs are leafing again.
And yeah, that's good.
Sanity has prevailed.
And Oilers, you know, I don't think that was such a stunning way to end that game the other night. Draisaitl scoring on his own net, and can't really blame him. It was just so unlikely. Like, I have to think one of them will advance, and my guess would be the Leafs. I know it's. I think
heresy. Come on, Hunt.
I know. Hey, look. You know what? They've looked so strong, and through other than the last game, they've just looked so strong and so complete. And the goaltending's been better than anybody expected. That's a question mark in Edmonton. I will say this though, I'm not a Leafs fan, and I actually like the team. I like their uniforms. I like Berube. I like the team. I just don't like the coverage that goes around it and, you know, how it just everything else gets ignored. That's what I don't like. But I will say this, that it's kind of like the Yankees in baseball. The playoffs aren't the same without them. And it's been so long that the Leafs have done anything in the playoffs. Them going on a deep run, you might love them, you might hate them, but at least you'll feel something. Kind of like the Yankees in baseball. And I'd rather feel something than, oh good, you know, Carolina has advanced to the Eastern Conference Final, or whoever, right? I just think there's a lot of emotion involved there, and it's okay to care a lot. So that, I'll give the Leafs that. If they make it, at least I'll care a whole lot. Even if the caring has a lot to do with hate.
I kind of like the stakes of what a potential final could look like right now, because I imagine down south, they're thinking, hey, wait, are we really going to watch an Edmonton and Toronto final? And up north, we're like, are we really going to watch a Carolina-Dallas final? It just kind of hangs in the balance right now, and it's such like interesting outcomes that might prevail here.
Be nice to have one Canadian team in there. You just like some of the buildings in the U.S. are just so tremendous and loud and boisterous and mean and angry, and I like that. But just that passion and the feeling for the game really comes through in the Canadian buildings. And I think maybe a combination of the two might be the perfect storm. But I would certainly be okay with the Canadian team getting in, even though I think it's a myth that everybody in Canada should vote for a Canadian team. I would certainly look forward to it, even though I wouldn't want to maybe admit it publicly, even though I just did.
You know, the crazy thing about the Leafs is, like, the story is the same every single year. And even these last two games that they lost to Florida, it's like, where's Austin Matthews? Where's Mitch Marner? Like, Matthews has played 9 playoff games against Florida, has not scored a single goal in any of those. This is like the guy that we consider right up there with Ovechkin as the best goal scorer in the league today, and he can't find a way to bury in the postseason. It's remarkable to me.
Yeah, and then people say, well, he's, you know, playing good defense. He's matched up against Barkov.
What is he, Elias Pettersson?
Yeah, he was exactly right. he nailed down the Selke with that one game in Toronto.
Yes, he did. He did.
You know, but it's great. But you can't play defense, and Elliot made this point on our show today, but you can't play defense and you can still score, you know.
Yeah.
So that's where he's got to get to, and you just got to think it's a matter of time. Let's be honest. I mean, the guy made a mid-season trip to Europe to see a doctor. So, I mean, obviously there's some health considerations, but the great ones fight through it all, and he hasn't done that yet. And he's lacing them up. He's not sitting out. So he's expected to score. He's getting paid a lot of money. And it's really frustrating, I'm sure, for Leafs fans. Defense, him being a defensive forward, is just not going to sit well with a lot of people in Toronto.
I'm going to bring you into our office and the debates we've been having today. The Petrovic goal, is that a goal to you?
Oh, you know, I was always of, I, you know, I'm so old. I was always of the understanding that if you kicked a puck and it hit something going in, that it counted. And then I look at the rule book today and I realize that's not the case anymore. That was always my thought. I heard you guys talking earlier about it being the perfect, you know, NHL goal.
That's Bick's take, okay? Don't put me on that. Don't put me on that, Donnie.
You know what? It wasn't bad in that. It wasn't a beautiful goal by any means. Sorry, Bick. But one thing about it being, like, if this is what you mean by it being perfect, it created a lot of debate.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of debate, a lot of controversy. And notice I'm, you know, evading the question here, by the way, the answer. But it created a lot of controversy, and it got a lot of attention. So from that point of view, maybe it was a perfect goal. My first thought was, yeah, it counted. So I'll go old school and say, yeah, I didn't really have a problem with it.
Well, why appreciate beauty of these majestic, skillful goals when we can argue about nonsense?
Yeah, no kidding. How about the end of that Panthers-Leafs game?
Oh my God. It's been a fantastic playoffs. It's been unreal.
Every night I come home and it's just like, or I am home and I just don't go out. It's just like, it's just so good every single night. And this is through two rounds now. It's just absolutely fabulous. And it makes me feel even more sad for Vancouver fans that they can't be part of it. And, you know, it was tweeted out today. I think, I can't remember, maybe it was the Canucks themselves, but you know, the Canucks beating Edmonton, I think in game 3 on this day, last year. It's tough for Vancouver fans to watch this and realize what might have been and what should have been, maybe.
Donnie, you're the best. Always appreciate the time.
Anytime, guys, look it up. Falco, Amadeus, Rocky Amadeus. Taking the nightclub
today. There he is, Don Taylor, joining us here on Canucks Central, as he does every single Monday. Guests on Sports at 650 call in on the hotline powered by Power West Industries. Don't get caught in the dark when it matters most. Visit them at powerwest.ca today. They keep the lights on. That goal, you just won't give it up. The perfect goal.
I love it.
What did you think? Maradona's hand of God goal was the perfect goal too?
No, because that one's obviously like, his hand touches it.
Yes,
right. Any angle, his hand touches the ball.
It's created this one, like, many years of controversy.
Like, genuinely, you go from behind Petrovic.
Yeah,
that's like, oh, that's a kick, and it that shouldn't be a goal. You go from behind the net, and it's like, oh, well, that looks like a goal. And you go from behind the play, the reverse angle from behind. Who's the D-man? I'm totally blanking here. Whoever the D-man was.
Yeah.
From behind that angle, it looks like it hits Petrovic's stick. So the same play from four different angles looks totally different. And I think we're all right. We're all wrong about debating about this and all the different points, because it's kind of like the blue dress, white dress, the yes. Yanni Laurel. It's kind of that goal.
Yeah.
It's a great talking point.
This text comes in from Loud Titans fan. How can anyone say that isn't a goal for the Stars? He kicked it to the front of the net.
I think it should be a goal.
Yeah.
But I also think it hits Petrovic's stick on the way to the net. So that negates the whole kicking motion and all that.
It's, you know, I kind of feel the same way. Like, he didn't kick it towards the net.
His intent is very obvious to not kick it into the net.
Like, he's kicking it towards the front of the net, and it happens to get propelled into the net.
Yes.
Not deflected, propelled into the net, which is why it's a good goal. But, you know, I can see why the Jets are aggrieved.
Yeah.
And how Dallas is like, yeah, and most people are like, yeah, this should always be a goal.
And especially with the way the rule reads, that's essentially what happened. That's a whole sequence.
You know, it doesn't excuse Winnipeg from just completely capitulating afterwards, right? Like, you know, it's still just a 3-2 game, and then a minute later you give up a goal to Mikko Rantanen.
16:09 left.
Yeah.
Like, you can certainly recover.
Yeah.
But it's like, you kind of got to get this stuff right.
The Rantanen thing is, I mean, the guy, like, if, you know,
take it over,
playoffs were to end today, I mean, there's no doubt who would win the Conn Smythe. It's Mikko Rantanen. I can't really, like, fault Carolina too much in their whole part of the situation. They should have done more to understand, like, there was no way Mikko Rantanen was going to play in Carolina before even approaching that sort of discussion. And if they hadn't, you know, maybe they trade for Elias Pettersson instead. But he ends up on Dallas, and Dallas, it feels like they've finally found the ingredient they've been missing all these years. And it's
what Carolina, like, needed themselves too, right?
Yeah. And you watch Rantanen, and I know I'm not the only one that's had this take, but it's like easily the best argument for keeping Elias Pettersson and not selling low on your $11.6 million player, because, like, the upside of him rediscovering his game is way better than just trading him for a bag of pucks or whatever most of our text box is hoping they could get for Elias Pettersson.
I just go back to pre-deadline conversations, right? And again, I like players like Dylan Cousins. I like Josh Norris. I like all the guys we talked about them. They're nice players, and you need those types of players. But the upside of a star player being at his best is so huge that I'd rather fail with Elias Pettersson than have the levels of success you might have with the depth guys.
Yeah.
And, yeah, okay, you might get some second-round runs. You might get some, maybe a third-round run. I don't know if you're getting to a Stanley Cup with it.
Yeah.
It's worth trying to see if it makes it to make it work with Elias Pettersson.
It's why the Leafs for so many years have continued to go down the path of, like, yeah, our best option is to keep Matthews, Marner, and Tavares and Nylander, because even though they've come up short in the playoffs, they still give us the best chance to win. And we have to hope that they knock down the door at some point. The Penguins, when they went through their run from the 2009 Cup to what happened in, you know, between their cups with Crosby and Malkin, how many times did they have the conversation of like, do we need to trade one of Crosby or Malkin to get back to the Stanley Cup final? How many times did we hear that conversation? You heard the same thing with Alex Ovechkin. How many times does he have to lose to Sidney Crosby before you decide to go in a different direction? And ultimately, in all those situations, what was the best outcome? Sticking with it rather than trading those guys away. Even the San Jose Sharks, you know, they came up short in the playoffs for how many years, and finally they broke through to a, I know they never won, but they got to a final with that group with Thornton and Marlowe and all those guys after a lot of playoff disappointments. You know, ultimately your best chance is sticking with the best and most talented players you have, and that's Elias Pettersson for the Vancouver Canucks. An update from the NBA draft lottery.
This isn't helping the conspiracy theorists.
No. It's definitely not helping the conspiracy theorists. I know there was a lot of conspiracies about the NHL draft lottery.
Yeah.
Like, oh, of course the New York Islanders win. They're not getting the All-Star game next year. So now they get the first overall pick. They get to move up 9 selections. Utah just came into the league. Here's a gift. You move up 10 spots in the draft lottery. The Dallas Mavericks have won the NBA draft lottery.
Yeah.
The same team that traded Luka Doncic this year.
On the cheap.
On the cheap. They have won the NBA draft lottery, and they will likely select Cooper Flagg. I mean,
fascinating outcome.
I would say you'd likely never trade Luka Doncic, but we sit here today, Luka Doncic is an LA Laker.
Could they get Giannis for the first overall pick?
So... yes, they will likely select Cooper Flagg, but with the Dallas Mavericks, you never really know.
Wild stuff. Man, life so unpredictable and yet entirely predictable at the same time.
The Toronto Raptors will select 9th.
Yeah.
So they will not be trading for Giannis Antetokounmpo, for anybody that's wondering about that. Dan Riccio, Bick Nizar.
Wait, they had a 1.8% chance to win the lottery. Oh,
and they
man.
Won. Chipping a chair, baby.
All the angry Canucks fans that are texting in right now. Sorry, I don't mean to laugh at her displeasure, but there is. Yeah, wild. Wild.
Basketball stuff. Phil says Nico knew. Nico Harrison, their GM.
That guy, man. What an all-time bailout.
This certainly helps for the Dallas Mavericks in their future without Luka Doncic. All right, Dan Riccio, Bick Nizar, coming up. We'll go through some other of our Stanley Cup playoff takes and also take you to Carolina. They've just taken a 1-0 lead in the opening period against the Washington Capitals, trying to go up 3-1. In that series. This hour of Canuck Central is brought to you by BC Liquor. Until May 31st, explore their exceptional selection and save. Like $7 on 36 packs of Old Style Pilsner, visit your nearest BC Liquor today. Enjoy responsibly. You are listening to Canuck Central.